You're listening to the Cerebral Mind Control Podcast. Welcome back to the Cerebral Mind Control Podcast, episode number 60, featuring Jess Tatu. Now, this episode is an amazing one. Jess is a serial entrepreneur. She has so many different businesses, and we're going to dive straight into this. But first, this episode is brought to you by Enigma Talent and Entertainment, Canada's one-stop shop for premium corporate quality entertainment services, ranging from hypnotists, magicians, DJs, photo booths, mentalists, you name it, they've got it in entertainment services. Now, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to introduce to you one of the most successful people to grace this podcast, and her name is Jess Tatu.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty
so
good.
So excited to be here.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you so much for coming out here.
Yeah, of course. I'm excited to be here. Yeah.
Perfect. So just for those that are watching, that are listening, that don't know who you are, how about you just... I know the story is pretty long,
it's
but
kinda
crazy.
I'll just give you kind of a heads up of what I do.
Sure.
I am a local Saskatoon-based serial entrepreneur, I guess is kind of what they call me. I own six different companies. I own four day spas, Just For You Day Spa here in Saskatoon, in Regina, in Lloydminster, and then we're opening our fourth location next month here in Saskatoon. I'm also the founder and CEO of Liarise Canada, which is a local beauty brand. So cosmetics, skincare, nail lacquers, those kinds of things that we've created. And then I'm also the co-founder of 471 Recovery Resources, which is a charitable foundation.
Okay.
And then I'm a part of lots of different community boards and charitable.
Yeah. And you have numerous awards. You win stuff every year.
I don't know about that, but I have a few.
So tell me about your accomplishments. Like, you're a serial entrepreneur. What does that mean, first off?
To me, I mean, being an entrepreneur is a little different than being a business owner. I think when you're a business owner, you own your business. It is, you know, great. It's the way it is. An entrepreneur never stops. You're constantly growing. You're constantly learning. Education is key. You're constantly making, you know, your career bigger and grander. I have several reasons for doing that, but I call myself a serial entrepreneur for lack of a better term, I guess, because the companies that I own are a little different. They're not all the same thing. So multiple, I kind of.
Yeah.
Say is
so how many businesses do you have?
Well, I have four spas and then Liarise Canada, which is my beauty brand. And in that company, there's quite a few. So there's the Liarise Cosmetics, which is a cosmetic company. Botanicals, which is a botanical skincare line. We've got nail lacquers, eyelashes. We're opening our first store next month in Saskatoon, 33rd in Quebec.
Okay.
And then I'm co-founder of my foundation. And then I also am co-founder of Entrepreneur 306, which is a business consulting. So we, with one of my best friends, Jordana Jacobson, so we own that together. And we basically just mentor other business professionals and entrepreneurs that are trying to kind of get their start in business. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You do so many different
Crazy.
Things.
Yeah.
So I guess before we get into your story, how do you make time for all of it?
I don't really know, to be honest. I just do it.
having
an amazing team has always been key for me. I have an incredible director, Jessica White. Everybody that knows me knows Jess White. She's the other Jess. She's the director of my entire corporation, so she kind of does everything for me. She's amazing, and she's really just like my partner in this chaos. And then my directors are incredible. I've got 11 of them in total across the province, and then we have just over 100 employees. So it's having the proper team members is key to being successful, I think, because I couldn't do it on my own. And so when people ask me, how do I make time? I delegate a lot of things to the people that are really good at doing it, and then that makes it, you know, possible for me to do the grander, bigger things.
Of course.
Yeah.
So how do you build a team?
When I first bought my company, I was in my early 20s. There was four employees working there, including myself. So there was just the four of us. What I did is I slowly built the business up and made it become profitable so that I could then hire other employees and different positions and things like that, and then just continue to grow and grow.
Okay.
I knew with expansion, so our first expansion was in our Saskatoon location. We doubled in size. Our second expansion was in Regina, Saskatchewan, becoming the largest spa in the province. So that was pretty incredible, but
that's
it was
huge.
A really, really big undertaking. So with that, I knew I had to, I couldn't do it alone. So I implemented Brittany Chiz as one of my, I think you know her, as my massage therapist director. So she runs the massage department. And then I brought on Giselle Sieben, who's been with us. She's been there for 21 years or something crazy. We always say she's the original esthetician. We always joke. She's been with me as well. So she runs the aesthetics department. And then, of course, Jessica White. And then that got us to be able to get into Regina market. And then I hired three directors there as well, Darcy, Corinne, and Carrie. And they're fantastic. And they run the entire department there. And then when we expanded to Lloydminster, Kayla, who had been one of my gals on my team here in Saskatoon, moved there. And so she's kind of heading that spa up there with the help of my two kind of front desk ladies, Rashawn and Deanna. So they're, it's having those amazing people in the right position and finding the right people to really be able to do what we do as a team.
So I think by now you've gone through a lot of different people, right?
Yeah, it's been a journey, that's for sure.
So how long does it take to find the right person?
You
know, you don't find them right away, right?
Sometimes I think I know right in that interview, and then I'm surprised, you know. And then sometimes, you know, someone might be a little bit slower to start and turn out to be, you know, such a key team member. But, I mean, we're not for everybody. The company that, you know, everybody wants something different in their career, and we try our very best to give people, you know, a positive place to work and a team environment. But, you know, it's... everybody wants something different, so it's hard. Generally on year three is when I start to decide whether or not, okay, you know, this person could be a senior position or a leader or an educator or a manager or director. So that's when I start to kind of take a look. And the industry is quite, has quite a large turnover. So only 1 in 10 estheticians stay in the industry after 1 year.
Oh, really?
So yeah, so it's hard to find really great, amazing team members. However, we have been incredibly lucky, and we have some of the best in the province, if not the best.
Probably has something to do with the leadership, I'm guessing. Right?
And it's not just myself. Their leaders are their directors who then I lead. So I think it's just really a team effort. It really is a team effort.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So building the team.
Yeah.
And you started that 3 years in? Is that what you said?
Once a therapist or a team member has been with us for 3 years, that's when I start to review. I mean, I appreciate them and love them, but when you have over 100, you can't give everybody management positions, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
So after 3 years is when I really start to say, like, wow, this person's in for the long haul. They really are committed to the company, to the team, to the family. We always say everything is such a team environment, and it really is a family there. It really is.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I think it's time we should maybe... back up.
Oh gosh.
A little bit further. So before you even started in entrepreneurship, where were you?
Okay, so I was born and raised in a small town, Craig, Saskatchewan, halfway between Regina and Saskatoon. My story is a really crazy long one, so I don't want to get into the whole entire thing. I do speak publicly a lot, so I suggest coming to maybe one of those.
Yeah,
and they're all listed on my website if you want to take a look at those. But long story short, had a pretty normal childhood up until the time I was about 9 or 10. And then alcoholism kind of made its way into our home with my father. And he was the most wonderful, amazing man. But it, you know, it happens. And it resulted in the loss of our house, which then resulted in me getting on a bus and coming to Saskatoon at 15 and registering in high school and getting a job and going back to school. So I didn't, my dad really, really, my mom as well, obviously, but my dad, you know, even though through all those struggles, he was still very like, education is key, you know, you use your manners, you be kind to people. And that was just something he really kind of ingrained in me. So education was obviously key. So I registered back at Walter Murray Collegiate and took my grade 11 and grade 12 there, finished on time. And from there, jump ahead, skip a lot of stuff. And I started working at a spa and fell in love with it, changed my life, and bought the company in my early 20s.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the one that you're...
The one that I own now.
The one that you own, it's, you bought
it.
It's
very different.
It's your first one.
Than it was when I worked there, and when I bought it, yes.
Really cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. It's almost
fitting. So it's really changed, yeah. And we've done a lot. And my first year was the most painful, obviously.
For sure.
I worked every hour that we were open, and so that we could grow the company and build and, you know, do all of these amazing, wonderful things that we're able to do today. My goals have certainly changed over the years once I had the company and what I wanted to do in my career and what I wanted to be able to give to other people, not only my employees, but the community and those types of things. So
very good.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. I like that. So what's the biggest change that you've noticed in mentality wise from when you first started?
Oh gosh, I was just a kid. Not that old now, but I was just a kid. I think just the way I look at everything is different now. When I took everything so personal and I cried a lot of tears, which I think every entrepreneur does. And I teach that now to the entrepreneurs I mentor, that like, you're going to cry. Like if you're going to have those moments where you want to give up, and that's just a part of, you know, being an entrepreneur and being a business owner and being successful. But, my goals are different. The things that then it was like, I really wanted to create this successful business. And then okay. It became, look what I can do because my business is successful. I was able to give and provide careers to people in an industry that generally, you know, if you're an esthetician or massage therapist, you have a position and that's that until you're done and then okay. You quit. Yep. And my goal was always to give them growth, give them room for opportunity for growth to become, you know, the best of the best in their industry and be able to climb the ladder so that they don't have to be doing back-breaking services till they're 60, you know? Right. And so that was always one of my goals. And then it became, look what I can do in my community. Look at how much we've been able to donate. Look at the time and the things that we can do in our community because the business has become successful. And so that kind of became my real focus. And I mean, that goes back to how I was raised. My dad was very adamant about being kind to others and helping other people. Everything that he lived for was to help other people. So he really taught that to me. And so that became something that was my day-to-day goal. That's something I wanted to do on a daily basis. And okay. So the larger the company grew, the more we were able to give back and do. And it's just, it feels like it's my responsibility coming full circle. You know, the church gave us food when we were young. We went to women's shelters, those types of things when I was young. And now I'm on the other end of it. And now yeah. I'm successful because of my community. And so then it's my responsibility then to give back to the same.
I like
community.
It.
Yeah.
So would you say that's your motivation?
That's my number one. Yeah.
Number one.
Community. Yeah. People community. Tell me all the time that I'm crazy for, why can't you just be happy with one business? Why do you keep opening another? Why do you keep doing this? And like I said, there's multiple reasons. Having the staff and the team members be able to grow careers and to be able to employ over 100 people and give them an amazing place to work, that's huge for me. That's something that, you know, their livelihoods are kind of on my shoulders, which is right. A little stressful, but at the same time, yeah. It's really exciting and I love it. But number two is that when I can inspire a group of 100 people and maybe 20 of those 100 also then join us and help doing the community involvement, we can make a pretty big change, you know, and a really big yeah. impact. And so we've been able to do some really incredible things over the years to help our community. And it's just something I just so strongly believe in. And no one else needs to really understand it. I do it because I feel like it's the right thing for me to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm very lucky that my team is supportive the same way. I have some really incredible, kind-hearted people that work with me, so they're generally right beside me, ready to donate, ready to fundraise, you know, do yeah. all those types of things. Yeah,
really good.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. So what do you think will be your next thing?
I get asked that all the time. No, I'm pretty I'm an open book. I don't okay. really have anything to hide. Right now our goal is to get this fourth spa open, so it opens next month. We're a little bit behind schedule, but that happens. The new store, the Leary's Canada store, so that opens next month as well. And then we've just started our wholesale department, so we're starting to sell Leary's Canada across spas and salons and boutiques and gift shops across Canada. So that's kind of, you know, happening, but mm-hmm. one thing at a time.
Right.
And I do a lot of public speaking, and that's kind of my number one is being able to speak to people. It started with high school students. I started okay. speaking to grade 9 to 12 students. And mainly my goal with that was so it was like I was talking to myself saying like, hey, I know this time sucks, but if I can do it, you can do it kind of thing. And mm-hmm. I was on my own paying rent and no one knew and, you know, and all of those things. And for myself to be able to now speak to students at that same level and them after to come hug me and tell me, like, you know, I'm in that situation, or my mom struggles with addiction, or my dad this, or my brother, you know, there's just those things that they can kind of relate to. So that's how it started. And then I started speaking with, like, women's groups and different entrepreneurial programs. And now I do workshops and lots of different things across the province, and in Alberta and Manitoba a little bit as well. And that's my like favorite thing, passionate thing I get to do. So going into 2018, I'll be doing a lot of that. I've booked quite a few already. So yeah, awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Awesome. And it's really crazy because the students I spoke to first would have been 4 years ago, I guess. Asked me to come back as their keynote speaker at their graduation. So right, I'm really excited to go back and do that. Yeah, just because, like, those were the students that, like, I first shared my story to. And and that was, you know, the first time I ever really got over talking about that it was a hard time and that it was a difficult situation. And it is nothing to be ashamed of. It wasn't something I chose. It just happened to our family. And it just gave me strength and gives them strength to share the story. So yeah, that's kind of how it started, and that's what I'm looking forward to in 2018.
Right on. Are you going to start filming, and maybe you already do, and putting your speeches, your motivational speeches
online? I don't know if I'll ever. I don't know.
Because I feel like...
I talk a lot, so anyone that knows me knows that that's like my number one, which is funny because I was told a lot growing up that I needed to not talk so much. Like, you need to not talk so much. You talk too much. You know, I heard that so much. And now I think it's funny because I'm paid to do so.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of funny how things work out. But I just really enjoy the one-on-one and the connecting with the crowd. So maybe someday, I've been interviewed a lot. And so I really enjoy that. But I think the standing in front of people and them asking questions, you know, and them sharing their stories with me, like, that's what I love. And knowing that I'm actually touching someone's heart and giving them maybe a little bit of inspiration, even if it's one person, it's worth it for me. So
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Because one's bigger than zero.
If I would have had somebody standing in front of me talking to me at 15 saying, like, look, this is what your future could be, you know, I would have absolutely
If you see someone doing it, that's in your same boat as you.
Yeah, and it was hard. Like, I mean, it's like I said, it's a really long story and a very long journey, but it was hard. There was a lot of really difficult years and a lot of really painful things. And instead of, you know, crying and letting it knock me down, I use it as fuel. And that's kind of the fuel behind why I do the things I do and why I build the businesses that I do. That's why I give to the people that I give to. And that's why community is such a important part of your day-to-day yeah, it really is a part of my being. Yeah,
so kind of in relation to that, I have a question that it's very I don't know, you were listening to the one before, right, with Molly.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Molly's amazing, by the way.
She is very knowledgeable.
She's the sweetest.
So I want you to imagine a hypothetical situation. Evil hypnotist.
Oh God, makes me. Oh God,
right? Not me, obviously.
Yeah,
but he goes out and he or she hypnotizes everybody that possibly knew you.
Yeah,
past, present, future. Hypnotizes them and erases you from their mind. But now, anything that screams Jess Tatu, like that, one of your qualities, will instantly remind them who you are. Goodness. What is that?
Well, I would hope that the things that I do for others would be the number one thing that, you know, people would say, oh, that's Jess, you know.
Yeah.
I know my friends would say, no, it's her giant hair, like, because that's their joke to me every day. And I'm like, no, like, but yeah, I would hope that it's the things that I do in my community and the kindness that I try to show to others. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I certainly try to be kind and help others when they need help. That's kind of my, I don't know, weakness, I guess, is that I almost don't know when to stop helping.
Oh, yeah?
I tried. I really enjoy it, and I really like the way that it makes me feel. And if I'm having a really bad day, or something's really stressful, and I mean, being an entrepreneur, that happens, I will immediately find some good to do. I can't help it. It's like my go-to. It makes me feel better. So
that's awesome.
So I would hope that that's what they would think. Otherwise, I don't know.
So
I talk a lot too, so that might be the other thing.
What's your biggest inspiration?
Oh, I take inspiration from absolutely everything. I'm one of those people that, you know, I appear like I'm an extrovert, but I actually am very much an introvert. I would much prefer to be by myself listening to music quiet or sitting at the lake. And so I take inspiration from mainly people around me. That goes from everybody in my, you know, kind of close circle of entrepreneurs. Like we're such supportive kind of sisters to each other and brothers too, I guess. And, you know, we help each other all the time. So I take such inspiration from watching other people succeed, more so locally, I think, more so than anything else. It's not like I'm following any big international people, really. I just kind of, my kids are a huge inspiration. I have three kids, my husband and my family. My dad was my biggest inspiration, I think, for sure. Even though I think people, when I talk about addictions, because that's what my foundation is for, I've never been an addict, but I've grown up with it my entire life. But I think a lot of people are surprised to hear me say that my dad, you know, was a really struggling addict, and it actually took his life. And so people are surprised when I say that he's my biggest inspiration, because they assume that, you know, the opposite. And he actually is completely the biggest inspiration in my life. He taught me everything I know. He taught me to be kind. He taught me to work hard. He taught me about education. He taught me about manners and family and relationships and all of the things that I believe that I am today are because of him. So I think for sure number one would be him, and then my kids, my team, and my community.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
A lot of people. I take inspiration from a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all the positive sides of your dad.
Yeah. There was a lot. And I think that's why I started my foundation. Number one was that there's such a stigma around addictions being these horrible, you know, scum of the earth type people, and they're not. And, you know, some of the kindest, most loving, wonderful people I've ever met in my life have struggled with addictions. And I've heard people say to me, like, well, it's not a disease, you know, it's not like it's cancer, it's not like it's, you know, this disease or whatever. How can you call it a disease? But no one goes out and decides that they, you know, we all go out and have a casual drink. We all, you know, most people do. Yeah. No one goes out with the intention of destroying their life and, you know, becoming an addict. So breaking the stigma is my number one goal with the foundation, and supporting the families of the people.
Right. Changing the frame of
it all. Just the way that people look at it. Like, these people just need a little help sometimes, you know, like.
So what's something that anyone listening can do to help?
I would suggest, I think that everybody should be involved in their community in one way or another, especially business owners and entrepreneurs. I strongly feel that if you do not support your community, you cannot expect them to support you back. You can't expect the community to come buy your product, come to your store and come visit you, you know, spend money in your store and all those things if you aren't willing to support your community back. That's just kind of my personal opinion. I'm sure people will disagree with me, but that's my two cents about it. Yeah, anybody who's not an entrepreneur or business owner, I just think what it does for you personally is it's such a growing, it's just so good for your mind and your heart. And there's always something you can do, even if you don't have a lot of time. I mean, I have less time than most people.
Yeah.
And I still, if I don't have the time, I'll provide feedback, or, you know, you know, it's not just about donating money. There's lots of amazing things you can do in your community. So
exactly.
Join some sort of community program, everything from Habitat, you know, for Humanity to Family Service Saskatoon. I'm on the committee for that. And we help raise money for, like, domestic abuse and those types of things. The YWCA, the Crocus is another really great one. There's just amazing programs. And if it's not those types of charities, there's, you know, things like Molly was talking about, what she was volunteering as well. I mean, there's lots of volunteer opportunities in the community if you really look for them.
Yeah, volunteering.
And
they
would take your help in a heartbeat. And sometimes, I mean, I have often said, I don't have time to come twice a month or three times a month to be on your committee and help with things, but they'll still be like, no, we're still, you know, when you can, come out, like, right? And those kinds of things. I know my team, I try to inspire them to volunteer and do things as well. And we volunteer at the Restore, like for Habitat.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hilarious. We have the best time ever. It's so funny because we have no idea about anything in that store. You know, people come in and they're asking. If you're not unfamiliar, the Restore is like where you take like doors and electrical, you know, things and sinks and whatever, and you donate them and then they sell them in the money. is for Habitat for Humanity. And so we volunteer there in the store, and like, here's us spa girls. We have no idea what any of this stuff is. And there's like men coming in like, do you have this, you know, piece of whatever? And I'm like, is it silver? Like, I don't know what you're talking about. So, but it's a lot of fun and it's great for team building. And I always tell any leader, team leader, manager, or boss, I guess, employer, to inspire your team to go do those things. It's a really good, fun team involvement. It really helps grow your team as a team and as a little family, and it makes you feel amazing. So
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely, you know, as I started getting further and more focused on the podcast here,
yeah,
that's a common theme, is
community involvement.
Is exactly. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I've been looking for that, and I've been
there's so much out there, and people are desperate. They're desperate for help. Like, some of these, and then there's like the programs like 100 Women, 100 Women Who Care, and there's 100 Men Who Care, and or 100 Men Who Give a Damn, I think. It's incredible. I was introduced to it by a friend. It's $100, and you donate $100, you go, and it's an hour long, you have a drink, and with, you know, other colleagues, other like-minded individuals, and three charities pitch their idea or their what they need the money for, and everybody votes, and at the end of the meeting somebody walks away with the money.
Wow.
And I recently spoke on behalf of Family Service Saskatoon and walked out with $20,000, and what it's going to do for the program is incredible. So huge kudos to the 100 Women Saskatoon.
That's huge.
So that's an easy one to join without much commitment. It's like one Monday every 4 months or something crazy.
Oh, yeah?
Like for an hour. Yeah.
Wow.
And in an hour you raise $20,000. And the men's, the 100 men who give a damn, that'd be a good one for you.
Yeah.
That's really great. Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely going to look into
that.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah, thank you for
fast way to donate without and make a big impact. I mean, these charities walk out with $20,000 sometimes at the end, right?
Yeah.
The goal was 1,000 or 10,000, I guess. Mm-hmm.
You can put more if you want, right?
I think it's just $100, but it's the more people that come. So we started with 100 women, 100. And now it's like 260, right?
I see.
Yeah,
so it's not limited to 100.
That's right.
Okay.
And so you can walk out at the end of 1 hour, and this charity walks out with a huge check. Like, it's just incredible. And
that's awesome.
It's such a big impact in such a small time. And it's one that I really love being a part of. So we've sponsored it a couple times, the food and things like that. So
yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
I like
really
it.
It's a really great one. Yeah.
I like it a lot. I had a question that
I know I get
that.
Off topic. I'm sorry.
It pertained to that, but now I'm just going to go to a different question.
No worries.
Sorry about that. If you could go back in time and say something to your younger self, would you?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah?
I would. I shed a lot of tears over things that really didn't matter. And I spent a lot of time worrying about things that really didn't matter. And my mind wasn't focused on the right things, you know. I was so busy when I first became an entrepreneur and a business owner. I was so busy worrying about making money for the business to stay afloat, like to stay open, you know, that I forgot about the people that worked for me were putting in their heart and souls. And as much as I loved them and appreciated them, I think I could have given them a little bit more attention and a little bit more guidance. But I was early 20s, and I know that. Like, I know that now, looking back, that, you know, I wasn't the best leader, I don't think, at 22. I don't think many are. So I would definitely go back and tell myself to, like, just slow down and, you know, appreciate the small things and don't worry so much about, you know, the little stuff that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind and just, you know, stick to your goals. And I'm proud of myself that I did stick to, you know, my goals of creating kind of the empire in the spa industry that I always kind of set out to, because a lot of people told me not to. And I just kind of didn't care. I'm stubborn that way. And I was just doing it whether they agreed with me or not. So.
Were you always confident?
No. My mom would disagree with that, my sister, but I was fairly stubborn. I was a very, very stubborn child, and in terms of that way, confident. But I actually couldn't answer the phone or order pizza. Like, I was terrified of social situations.
Okay.
Terrified. Like, and now I stand up in front of people and speak all the time, and it doesn't scare me at all. But I was terrified of those types of things, and it just grew over time. I think I gained confidence. And I mean, the first time I ever spoke publicly, I was like shocked that I had something that people wanted to hear, you know. And even now, I just did a speaking engagement out of town
just recently, and even after I finished and people were like lining up and asking questions, and I was standing there thinking, I'm still surprised that, you know, I have something that people actually want to hear. So it's a little surprising still, but I now know the impact that it has had. So now I do it and the confidence is there, but it definitely has grown.
What are some business tips that you wish you could have told yourself when you were younger? Or that you wish maybe a mentor could have passed down to you?
I think always, like, never take your eye off the big picture, because you get so busy with the small stuff sometimes that you get so busy being busy that you actually aren't getting anywhere or going anywhere. You're running in circles busy, you know. And I'm a busy person, but my long-term goals are always there, and you have to put a plan in place to reach those goals, you know. And without a plan, I think you're just dreaming. And so I think that's one of the things I try to focus on anyway. Okay. Yeah.
I like it. Mm-hmm. And are there any reading material or books that teach an important lesson that you've applied in
your... You know, nothing that's like stands out that is like, oh my God, you have to read that book or something like that. I'm more the type of person that, like, life experiences for me are really inspirational. Things that I've learned watching firsthand and that kind of thing. I think more so, I mean, I've read a lot of books, I've read a lot of blogs, I follow lots of different, you know, inspirational pages, tons of entrepreneurial ones, like tons. And I mean, I obviously get lots of inspiration from those types of things, but I really find like life experience has been my biggest lesson.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how about you share with us your favorite story?
Oh God, I have so many crazy stories.
Favorite memory.
I guess it's kind of the same thing, right? In what? Like a business? Or like?
Both. So one from business and one from just your, maybe before business. So pre-business Jess and post-business Jess.
Like a favorite memory.
Yeah.
Oh goodness. Okay, well,
and if it's tough to,
it's a funny memory. No, I have a good one. Okay, so when I was young, like I said, I was kind of terrified of, you know, talking to people, but I was always an entrepreneur. Like, I was 8 or 9, I think. I'd have to ask my mom, but I decided with my two kind of little friends that we were going to start like a little business for odd jobs and stuff around town. I mean, my town is a really small town, like 400 people. It's amazing. Cutest little town ever. I made like a list of like all the things we were going to do, my friend and I, and it was like $1 an hour or something crazy, and we were going to split the profits. And but I was terrified like to talk to people. So I made, back in the day with like an old tape recorder, I made these like ads of like me talking, like saying like, oh, I'll come to your house, we'll cut your grass and, you know, dust and do all the vacuum your floors and all these things. But I was so scared that I couldn't phone people. So we cold call in the yellow pages white pages in my hometown, and we'd call each number and then I'd hold the phone up to the tape recorder so it could play. So it could play the message of me saying, yeah, but then they'd call back to book and I was terrified. So I'd hang up the phone right away because I couldn't, I couldn't talk to them. So we didn't get that many jobs, oddly, because I was too scared to talk to them or meet them or go to their house. But I did do like a couple things, like we used to cut grass and stuff like that. So, but I mean, I always had a job when I was young too. So, but that's a funny story because I remember it very clearly. And
yeah.
That's my mom really always saying, and my sister always saying, like, you're going to need to talk to people, you know, in life someday, like, you know, and the phone would ring at home and she'd be like, okay, answer the phone. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not answering it. The doorbell ring. I'm like, nope, I can't do it. I just like, I'm, you know, I'm still, there's bits of me that's an introvert like that still. But, so that would be my story from before. One of my favorite memories, I think, would be recently I was given an award, and normally like awards are amazing and incredible, but that's not why I do what I do. But the YWCA gave me the Women of Distinction for Entrepreneurship, and that's one of my favorite accomplishments for the simple reason that I feel like that is life coming full circle, because those were the programs, the things that the YWCA does, those were the programs that helped me when I left my home, and you know, things were kind of crazy, and my dad was in rehab, and all of those kind of crazy things. Those were the programs that helped me, and to now be on the other end, and they didn't know any of that. So I just felt, standing on that stage that day, I just felt like, you know what, this is so like full circle, and I hope that, you know, there's a young girl out there going through what I went through that someday can also be standing on the stage, you know, doing what I right. do. So that was a pretty special moment for me.
I like it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Probably one of my most favorite.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah,
that's huge. Okay, so there's been a lot of changes in your life up mm-hmm. until now. Do you foresee anything changing mentality-wise in the next couple of years?
You know, so my brother and I started this foundation, the 471 Recovery Resources. And 471, people ask me all the time why the name. It is named after the house that we lost growing up. That I always say addiction stole, because it did. And so we started this after his battle with addictions, and he's doing amazing, and he's incredible and a huge part of my life. And I think I've really come to realize just recently that, like, everything that I've done, all of the business, and I love my business. Like, I love the spas. I love Leary's Canada. I love all of the things, the amazing, fun things I get to do, and the people I work with and the customers I meet. But I really feel like it's all led to this. Like, it's all led up to me being able to do the things in the community and working with this foundation that we've created to help people that need the help right. people like myself and my brother. Like, yeah. we were children that, you know, we didn't make that choice. We didn't have that decision. And so to help people that need help, and I feel like it's all just kind of now coming to light, you know, what my real journey is supposed to be and the real path that I'm supposed okay. to be on. I feel like it's just happening.
Just getting started yeah. then.
Which I think people will think I'm crazy for, because I have all these businesses and whatever, but I really do feel like this is where I'm meant to be, and mm-hmm. these are the things that I was meant for. And
really
and,
cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Big things coming, everybody. Big things coming.
I know. I always like, don't even ask. People say, like, so are you done? Like, do you think you're done with, you know, opening businesses and whatever? And I'm just always like, like, I'm just not going to tell you, because I never stop. So I don't see myself stopping anytime soon. I've definitely cut back a lot. I spend mm-hmm. a lot of time with my kids, which people on the outside, I think, wouldn't know, because I keep my private life very private. People ask all the time, like, she doesn't even have pictures of her kids online. You know, I don't put pictures of my children online for a reason. Mm-hmm. I don't think my 16-year-old wants, you know, pictures of him, you know, pooping his yeah. diaper all over the internet, like when he was a baby. So I love that people share with me. It's just a personal preference. I just don't share my family, but I keep sure. that private.
And you've been you've kept true to that for
yeah, I always have. Life, I mean, my family. I mean, I have a huge family. So my family, my close friends, obviously,
yeah.
they see my kids. They know my kids. They, I share albums and things with them. But I just don't share public things about my children. I just don't. That's my time. That's my, yeah. you know. And so I spend a lot of time with them. We spend a lot of time at the lake. And mm-hmm. family time is very important to me. So I think, from an outsider looking in, they'd see, like, oh, she's busy. She's running all these companies. She's so busy. She does this all the time. You know, she's working all the time. And I actually am, like, very much with my family. I just am so private about it that I keep it
right.
hidden a little bit.
So do you ever get overwhelmed?
Oh, yeah. That's going that's on? Just a part of it, yeah.
And then how do you deal with it?
I've just learned that there's sometimes you just have no control over what's happening, and you need to just accept what's happening. Mm-hmm. You can't change some of it, so you might as well just accept it, and, you know, it's how you react to it. And right. For example, our business right now, the new one that's opening, is like really far behind. There was like some issues with getting our permits and, you know, things like that that pushed us back, and there's nothing I can do about it. So rather than get frustrated and, you know, make it ruin my day, I'm trying my best to just like stay positive, and, you know, it'll happen in time, and like quality over like speed, I guess, make sure it's great. And
right.
But being overwhelmed is just a part of it. It's part of the process. And any entrepreneur that says, like, oh, no, I've never been stressed out, I've never been overwhelmed, I'm like, okay, you're not an entrepreneur then, because, like, it is part of the job. Like, you're going to have those moments where you want to give up.
Right.
Like, that's just a given.
So that's happened to you multiple times. Yeah. How do you push through that?
It's having a really great support system. Okay. I mean, I have had people that have said, like, maybe you should just sell it. Maybe you should just sell everything. And I'm like,
really? They said,
like,
that, hey?
Well, and it's funny, because okay. I'll say that. I'll be like, oh, my God, you know, it's so stressful. Maybe I should, you know, because that crosses your mind as an mm-hmm. entrepreneur. I think that any business owner, anybody stressed out. But as soon as someone else will say, well, maybe you should, I'm like, no, I can't. Like, I can't do that. I can't ever sell my company. But it's having that great support system, you know, and having like-minded friends. They become like your closest, you know, people. So you can talk to them and they'll say, oh, I've been through that. I've dealt with that already. I know how to handle that. Try this, you know, and giving pieces of advice and just kind of learning that at the end of the day, there's some things that you can't change and you're going to be just fine. And I've learned lots of different like little tricks to teach myself to not stress out. Okay. And
like what?
One, and I teach this to a lot of the people that I mentor. One thing I do is every week I write down all the things, and I don't do it so much anymore, but I used to. I write down all the things that were really stressing me out in my career. Mm-hmm. The things that, you know, your day-to-day work job that like are on your shoulders, that's like, you know, keeps you up at night, you can't sleep, makes you stressed out, makes you want to cry. Write them all down and put it away. Put that note away.
Okay.
And then in a week, when you sit down to write down your new list, you look back at the week before. Okay. And chances are all those things are not even a problem anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And so you learn to realize as you're writing them, oh, this isn't even that big. I'm not even going to write it down because it's not that big of a problem. It'll be fine in a week. Yeah. And so you learn that, like, you learn your strength. You learn that it'll be okay and you don't freak out. Because worrying and stressing out is just such a waste of your energy. You can't do anything about some of that stuff. So sitting and worrying and getting so stressed out, I mean, you should feel bad if you've done something wrong.
Right.
But if you haven't, like, you know, have faith that it'll work out and just kind of learning that the things that I think are big things maybe aren't such big things in the grand scheme of life, you know?
Right.
And so that was a big lesson.
So don't give them so much time and attention.
Like, I would spend days and like something would go wrong at work and I'd be like on the phone crying and worrying about it and trying to figure out, you know, and then like 2 days later it completely clears up and I'm like, oh my God, I spent 2 days so stressed out over it. And you just learn how to, it's stress management. I learned stress management very early in my career because I had to or I was going to have a breakdown. So, yeah. And then throw in there like kids and, you know, all of that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I know you've told me how you did it, but I still don't know how you did it. Cause
it's just, I'm not the type of person to just kind of sit.
Yeah.
I always will be this person. I'm always like on the go. I feel good when I do things for others. I feel good being busy. I feel great having relationships with people. I feel happy that I get to create the things that I create. It's like an artist being told that they can't paint, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And that's like telling me that I can't, you know, do anything. I tried to stay at home with my kids when my kids were babies. And I don't think I was being a very wonderful mom. I think I was like sad all the time because I felt like I was not necessarily missing something. I just felt like a little lost. And so once I was back at work a little bit, I was like happier with my babies. And that's just my personality. I always wanted to be able to just be there and, you know, stay home for 6 months or stay home for a year. And for me, I would have if I wasn't the owner of my company, but I love the creative part of it. And it just was like trying to tame my creative mind and it just didn't work for me. It made me miserable. Hmm. Yeah. So now I do both and it's like a balance, like my babies are my life and my creative and my art is my life. So
I like it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I found a way to balance it
all. Yeah, and it's a weird balance because sometimes it'll feel like I'm working like crazy. Like when we open the new store, I'm sure it'll be nuts.
Yeah.
And then summer, I'm at the lake all summer and, mm-hmm. you know,
so you take my teens don't see
me. I pretty much take my, well, I mean, I'm never off. I have my phone all the time. Okay. But yeah, like when I'm working too much and I feel like I'm working too much, I'll disappear and be with my kids and that's it. You know, so, I'm sitting in the rink and at the lake and fishing and
traveling.
Oh yeah, the lake is like my.
Is that your number one?
That's my number one. Yeah.
Fishing.
I love fishing. My husband doesn't like it, but my kids do. And yeah, it's my favorite thing. It's quiet. It reminds me of home. I mean, you come from a small town. I mean, you're not used to the city sounds and stuff. So small town is like amazing. It's just quiet, right? And I miss the quiet sometimes. So the lake for me is like my balance. It's only an hour away, so I sneak away on the weekend with my kids and just disappear and.
Right.
Yeah, so it is kind of finding a balance, but it's never equal. It's never like, I spend 50% of my time doing this and 50, you know, it's...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm home when my kids get home from school, but I might be chaotic during the day until they get there. And then the next day I might be out of town working at one of my other locations, but then, you know, they've got hockey tournaments, so then I'm home for 4 days. Like, it's just trying to make sure it's equal.
So you do a lot of traveling then?
Not so much anymore. Oh, really? I used to do a ton. Yeah, I don't do so much anymore. My team in Regina is incredible. I barely have to go there anymore. They keep me so up to date on everything.
Oh, good.
I mean, I'm available to them at all times. But they are amazing. Like they love it like it's theirs. And I always say, like, how's your spa doing? I always say to them, even though it is mine,
yeah.
It feels like it's theirs because it really is. Their hearts are there. And Lloydminster, it's a little newer. We only opened a year ago. And the team there is incredible as well. It's a little smaller, so it's a little bit easier. It's not quite so chaotic because we have a smaller staff and a smaller space. And my mom lives there, so I kind of... Which in is Lloyd? Why I opened, yeah, yeah. Which is why I opened there. My grandmother lives in Regina, and so I go there to visit her. And I okay. opened it around my auntie and my grandma, so that was kind of my purpose of Regina. Lloyd, my mom lives there, so I get to see my mom every time I go. So it's just like balancing the travel with visiting and trying to double up on things, like yeah. you know, yeah.
So I know with there's a few stores, Sears and. Yeah. Toys R Us, they've gone out of business mm-hmm. because the internet has now taken over.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see for, because you're mainly in services, well, but you do have products.
We do, yeah. And so, I mean, the one thing I think will never be replaced is person to person.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't order, I mean, you can get a great massage chair, but it's like yeah. a mechanical massage chair, but it's not the same. And that human interaction, that human touch is something mm-hmm. that we sell, and that relationship and that experience is what we really aim to sell to our customers at the spas. Lady Reese Canada, obviously, a huge portion of it will be online. So
yeah, so you're already
yeah, there. So we'll kind of yeah. be doing both markets. Mm-hmm. I mean, our main warehouse will be in the store, behind the store, in the new location. But I mean, it's devastating to see businesses going under that have worked so hard and put their lives into it. And, you know, I've seen a lot of it close to home that's happened, and it makes me really sad. So it's just, I mean, hope. Yeah. I hope that the economy comes back. You can't
replace services, though.
No, you can't replace services, you know. Yeah. And, you know, we've been very lucky. We've been very blessed that the customers that we have support us the way that they do. So hopefully that'll continue.
Yeah.
yeah.
And of course, you're all over social media right now too. And
yeah, social media is just kind of a crazy thing now compared to the way, you know, life used to be with marketing. And I do a lot on social media. I mean, being a public speaker, I think that's just a part of it. You
yeah.
need to, you know, you're putting sure. yourself out there. You're really putting yourself out there. So yeah, it's been really good to me, and I've met a lot of incredible people that way. So.
So when did you start speaking?
The first time I ever spoke was, I've been interviewed lots about business. I've been, okay. you know, I mean, on the news and whatever.
Stepping on stage. And
so I've speech. Done a few of the like interview type styles
okay.
that started on stage. That gave me a little bit of the courage first.
Okay,
so and I started to share tidbits, mm-hmm. you know, of my story. And then it was once the Saskatoon Chamber of Commerce, which I also volunteer for the SABEX Awards. But they had an event and asked me to come be speaker. And that was years ago. And I was interviewed by the amazing Shauna Nelson, who is at, I think, the James Hotel Sheraton. She's amazing. She interviewed me. She was one of the first people that I publicly, like, talked about a few things. And at the end of my interview, I had a lady in the crowd that said to me privately, thank you for coming. It was amazing to hear you talk about your, you know, entrepreneurial journey and the things that you do and your community. But why don't you talk about where you came from? Why don't you ever share, like, because she knew I'd met her previously in life and we had kind of talked. And she said, why don't you ever tell your story? Like, it's inspirational. I think people would be inspired by hearing that you were a 15-year-old girl and you, like, survived on your own and, you know, all of these things. And I just immediately, my reaction was like, well, oh my God, like, I don't want people to know that. Like,
yeah.
they're going to judge me. They're going to think poorly. And she's like, why would they judge you? Like, you're strong because of it all. And that was the first moment that I kind of realized, like, huh, maybe she's right. Maybe I've been, like, looking at this whole thing the wrong way. Like, I tried so hard to create a life and a career that, you know, I was proud of because of where I came from. Maybe I wasn't so proud of. And then I realized I am where I am because of that life, not despite it. So that's when I really realized the power and what and the strength and what I'd gone through to really push me into the career that I have now. It really right. was because of that, not despite it. Like, I didn't, you know, people will say, like, oh, you know, you've become so successful even though you went through all that. And I'm like, no, I'm successful because of all of that. All of those things taught me how to be really strong. And the way I always look at it, like, we lost our home. We had no food. My mom was working like a million jobs. My sister and I were both working. My little brother was just this little kid. And then I came to Saskatoon and I was working full time and going to school full time. And I was 15. I couldn't even drive. And I'm never going back to that life. And now, even if I did, I know now that I'd be okay. So I really don't, the fear is gone. And so when people say to me, isn't it terrifying to like open your own business? Isn't it terrifying to stand on stage and talk? Or isn't it terrifying to like, you know, put hundreds of thousands of dollars into a new business? And what if it doesn't work?
Right.
So it doesn't work. I tried, you know, and I'm never going back to as bad as it was. So that's kind of the, I have something to lose, but I don't, you know, right. Like.
So you're happy that everything happened the
way
it did.
Yeah, absolutely I am. I am anything? The person that I am. I wouldn't change any of it. I mean, I wish we could have helped my dad maybe sooner because he did die from it. But at the same time, I feel like that was just the way that it was meant to be. And, you know, and he taught us a lot. And yeah, so I don't know if I would change. I mean, I feel bad for my mom because she struggled for a long time and it was hard for our family. But at the same time, we're all happy and healthy now. Yeah, I don't think I would change it. I think that's the way it was meant to be. And yeah, and I am where I am now because of it all. So
right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't change that either.
That's right.
Because now you're in a position to help a lot of people.
That's right. That's the way I honestly like. So when people are like, why can't you just like, why do you keep opening? Why can't you just be happy? Why do you have to keep buying new companies? Why do you keep? And I just don't care. Like, I don't like, that's, you know, form your opinion if you want. That's okay. But I know what I get to do and I know the impact that it allows me to make in my community and to the people that it impacts. So just because everybody doesn't know it's happening doesn't mean it's not happening, you know?
What's something small that you've done in the past? Well, that's obvious. Something small that you've done that's helped shaped who you are today.
Something small that I've done. I don't know. There's a lot of things.
Your top three maybe.
I think, I mean, other than like becoming a mother and those types of things, I think, you know, being there for my dad when my dad was in rehab and all the times he was in rehab and he was at the hospital and all those things, I think sitting through that all taught me to like the importance of being there for someone when they need a little help. Little things like we regularly do donations to the women's shelters, like to the children and women, because most of them are like fleeing in the middle of the night, so they have nothing, right? So we just recently took, my team and I took like bins and bins and bins of stuff that my team collected, and then I wrote them a check, and like to watch the little kids like come running and like digging out of the bin like coloring books and stuff, like that to me is just like, you know what, no one else needs to know, like no one else, it doesn't matter, that little boy just like walked away with like the hugest smile and I'm just like, okay, like that.
That's
it
awesome.
Just, and then that first time of doing those types of things, it just really starts to shape like what's important to you. And I think it's just changed my outlook on life. It's changed what matters to me. It's changed my goals. It's changed my nature of who I am. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else.
What's your
education? Is
what's your biggest goal? Like your most ambitious goal that you want to accomplish in your
goals.
Life?
I don't know. I think I'll write a book someday. I've been asked a couple times.
That was one of my next questions.
Yeah, I write a lot down, but I'm not ready yet, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But I think that's in the future, I think. I would like to speak at an international level someday.
Yeah.
I've gone to a lot of international speakers, and I've kind of, you know, conversed with them after, and they've either talked to me or heard my story or whatever, and they've said, like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, people here would, you know, be inspired to hear that, like, especially in my industry, because it is such a hard industry. Like, there's so much competition. And so I think that would be really cool. I would love to, you know, be there to support my kids in whatever they do. Like, you know, people always ask, like, will your daughter take over the company, the family company someday? And I don't know. That's her call. Like, she's, you know, I'll never push her into it. If my kids want to be a part of it, fantastic. But if not, you know. I'm stubborn and she's just as stubborn. My kids are just as stubborn as I am. So they'll be on their own program, I'm sure, as well.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know otherwise. Like.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Because I know myself, by 2030, I want to be the top hypnotist.
Oh, yeah. See, to me, you are already. That's why I've worked with you so many times. You're like, you might also be the only one I know, but you're also really good. So.
One of one, right?
Yeah. And a lot of people probably don't know this, but You must have been just starting when I first hired you. One of the first times. That was that was 11 years ago.
Yeah. That's pretty much when I first started, right there.
11 years ago, you came to our very first, when I first bought my company, you came to our first, it was actually our grand opening, reopening after I took over and we renovated and relaunched and did new logo and brand, you know, new brand. And then we've had you, you know, multiple times since, so.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. It was awesome and people loved it. And then you got to come to our anniversary too, which was so cool. So thank you for doing that. Event. It was so fun. Well, Molly at Lux did that event for us. The Sheraton gave us that room, which was incredible. Kelly Taylor's hilarious and came and you know, stood up. And then you came and performed for everybody. And everybody, I mean, you were the hit. People talked about you all week. So
sweet.
Yeah, it was really good. And it was cool for me to go back to like the roots where we started and you were there, you know, and Memories by Mandy Photography was there and they came and shot the event too. And she was like my first photographer of the gala. Like it just was really cool. And to see things 10 years later.
Evolved since
then. And I had no idea I'd have four 10 years later. So it was pretty cool to have all my teammates there and like, you know, so it was a very cool moment.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I had a great time there.
It was fun.
So for people that want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Probably my website, justtattoo.com. My email is there as well, info@justtattoo.com. Okay. Or follow me on social media. I keep my profiles private, but I will accept, you know, people when they add me. And I keep them private because I've had somebody try to steal my photos and stuff once. So I'm a little bit pickier about who I like. Yeah, and like I said, I keep my family close to my heart. So I'm public, but I'm private. So you can add me on social media. I'm pretty open to meeting new people and I'm at every event, so come introduce yourself or come say hi. I take pride in trying to be at as many community events as possible.
Okay, what's the next one?
I'm speaking at it's a more of a Q&A at Lucky Bastards January 10th for the Saskatoon Chamber. It is called, oh my goodness, I'm just forgetting the name now, but yes,
it's on the website.
January 10th. It's on my website. Yep. It'll be on my website. Yeah. And then, I'll be at the, Sabex Awards cause I'm the chair. So, I'll be there having fun with all the amazing businesses. And, there's a couple other events coming up, but I post everything on social media if I'm going to be at an event. So, but yeah, I love meeting new people. So if you see me, come say hi. Cause I love to meet people.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I will put all the links for this in the show notes for the episode. Just episode number 60. So thank you for being.
You're welcome. Kind of like I'm so excited. I know we've been lining this up to like come and I've just been so busy. So I'm glad it worked out before Christmas.
And thank you so much for allowing me to learn from you.
Yeah. And, anytime.
I know that everyone that's listening learned a lot as well.
Yeah, I hope so.
And can't wait to see one of your public speeches.
Yeah, and see what other crazy things I do.
Yeah, exactly. But thanks for coming out.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Thank you everyone for tuning in. Go to jesstattoo.com and we'll see you on the next one. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That was episode number 60 of the Cerebral Mind Control Podcast featuring Jess Tattoo. Now, I hope you took away some lessons from this episode. I know I have, and I have applied so many of them to my businesses. And I'd have to say I'm gaining so much traction, so many results just from this podcast alone. And I can't wait to learn from more people. Now, a quick announcement that this podcast, we are ramping up the production of this podcast. We're going to be producing more episodes this year than we have up until this point in the last 2.5 years, 3 years or so. Now, in addition, please go to our Facebook, CMCYXE, and follow us there if you'd like to check along and follow along live on Facebook to all of the future episodes. In addition, the show notes for this episode will be at hadlin.com/CMC060. On that page, you'll be able to find the video as well as all of Jess Tattoo's social links and websites. So again, thank you so much for your time and attention, listening and learning with me, alongside me, and I will see you in the next episode.